Matt and Francesca present Seva Matrimony.
It's time to raise the curtains.
Oh my, you've been thinking about this.
It's time to light the lights.
Shut up, stop, you're embarrassing yourself.
It's time.
Stop it.
To record about Muppets on Cinematrimony tonight.
Now I know why you were so anxious to do this podcast, because you were like, oh, I've got a solid gold opening plan.
But now that you've talked all the way through it.
Yeah, well, good. I've perhaps spared you a little of the embarrassment.
Right.
Self-inflicted embarrassment.
So, we are, yeah, that's my son's take on it, too. We are here to talk about The Muppets, which is the very understated title of this year's sort of, I guess you would call it a reboot of the Muppet franchise.
No, it was a reboot.
Well, they're trying to bring this back to life, because the Muppets have been gone for quite a while from public consciousness, other than the occasional YouTube video.
I don't think there's been any kind of indication that they're like going to do one a year.
No, they're not. They might not, but it did pretty well at the box office so far.
Oh, yeah.
And, I mean, it's like universally, it's one of the best reviewed movies in years on Rotten Tomatoes. It's like, there's like not a single negative opinion to be found about this movie
except
on the internet. Except our own film nerds curmudgeon, Craig Hamilton, who for some inexplicable reason does not like this movie. And,
because he doesn't like goodness.
Yeah, so, I mean, drop your comments on the Facebook page or on our blog page here for this podcast, and just let Craig know what a heartless monster he is and why, you know.
Well, here's the thing. I believe, and he's going to get his feathers ruffled, but I think the gist of it was like that it was just...
Are you going to really, you're going to directly address Craig's review?
Well, no. Well, I mean, it's the only negative review. I believe in the whole world. No, I think the idea, the gist of it was sort of that it was vapid and that it was inconsequential. But, like, the thing is, you can't really measure a Muppet movie against anything but another Muppet movie.
But there's no, like...
There's no common denominator between it and anything else.
But there's no There Will Be Blood Muppet movie. There's no, like, Muppet movie that changed people's lives or anything. It's just... That's all the point of it is. It's just supposed to be light entertainment. And I will say this, actually, for this Muppet movie, more so than any of the other Muppet movies, this one actually has a sentimental story arc that is sort of about, you know, there's a dark side to it that they have to overcome. And there's this is really, you know, heartbreaking musical number that I don't know how much of it you saw. I should mention that Francesca and I decided to bring our 3-year-old daughter to this as her first movie in the theater.
Pushed me into it.
It was definitely more my idea than Francesca's. I thought it was worth a try. And really, to be fair, she did okay. She liked a lot of it.
Frankly, we shouldn't even be doing a podcast because neither of us
saw the whole
entire movie.
But she saw she really liked the previews. She really liked the Toy Story short before the movie.
I wouldn't say that. I think at that point she was still just the novelty of sitting in a big seat and eating popcorn.
Yeah, the popcorn really kept it alive. And then she got, at a certain point, she kind of was not into it anymore.
I believe it was like 20 minutes in when she said, I want to go home.
I want to go home, was what she said.
In full volume.
And I asked her when we were leaving, I said, what was your favorite part of the movie? And she said, the part where the letters came up.
Yeah.
And which was the end credits.
Right. So maybe she and Craig are
That was the only other negative review. Craig Hamilton and a 3-year-old.
To be fair, though, they sang Mana Mana during the
credits.
Oh, that, spoiler alert. Sorry, everyone.
The closing credits are really good. But, so anyways, I'm not sure how much of this number from Kermit that you saw where he was sort of really sadly talking about how, you know, the gang's not together anymore.
You were the one who was out at that point. You were getting her.
No, I saw most of it, though. Most of that number. And I just thought it was very touching for that part. Because to me, and I think we're a generation, we're probably right in there with Jason Segel. He's a little bit older than us. But, you know, this is his sort of pet project, as he wanted to resurrect the Muppets because it was a big part of his childhood. And for me, the Muppets were definitely a part of my childhood. And
Christmas
so it was.
Toy. Oh, wait, are you crying right now thinking about it?
Well, the Christmas Toy does not really, although Kermit has a cameo in the Christmas Toy, that is not really the Muppets. It's not the you know, traditional Muppet cast, but the Muppets themselves, like I grew up watching the Muppet Movie and Muppets Take Manhattan, which we rewatched recently.
I wanna be a movie star.
The Muppet Baby song, yeah. Have you heard? This is an aside for all of our listeners who are fans of Aspect Radio, the other excellent movie podcast from the state of Alabama. If you're
the only other one,
yeah. If you're not listening to it, you should. But Ben Flanagan actually sang the entire Muppet Babies theme song in the intro to this week's episode.
He sang it.
Oh yeah, in different characters' voices. You need to hear it. Oh, he did the whole thing. Yeah, yeah. It's all worth right. listening to just for that, if nothing else.
Well done. That is, here's a fun little picture this moment from my childhood. The Muppet Babies was one of the many afternoon shows that the Roscoe children whiled away the hours while we were upstairs of our piano teacher's house, because at certain points in our childhood, three of us were taking piano lessons, and my mother would drop us off at poor Miss Redmond's house, and the two who were not receiving their half an hour lesson would sit upstairs in her old lady sitting room.
And watch Muppet Babies.
And watch some sort of show. And Muppet Babies was definitely one of them. Ghostbuster cartoon was one of them.
We're getting off track now. We could do a whole podcast on the Ghostbusters cartoon.
What is the Muppet movie about if not nostalgia?
That's true. Well, so let's get into sort of some of the finer points of discussing this movie. I think it's fair to say we probably agree with the majority critical opinion that this is an enjoyable experience.
I'll tell you, though, primarily what made it enjoyable for me, which you might think, of course, it's the Muppets. And I appreciate them. But really, I enjoyed Brett McKenzie's music.
Yeah, I think that's a highlight. Part.
Like,
yeah.
To me, that is probably why I enjoy. What made me enjoy it the most was that it was basically, because they're basically Flight of the Conchords songs in a Muppet movie. And I loved it. Like, am I a Muppety man or a man
right.
a Muppet? Like, that was straight up something that the Conchords...
It was. I know what it reminded you of, which is the I'm Not Crying song.
Well, they even borrowed a, you know, shot.
Well, it's the same director. It's James It's James Bobin. But I think there's been a lot of talk already about Brett McKenzie and a lot of people actually mentioning that... you know, that's that original song category at the Oscars, especially the one you hear most talked about is Life's a Happy Song, which is kind of the theme song of the movie. But
well, it's so stinking catchy. And to be fair, too, there's not ever a huge amount of original songs, you know, to compete. And by George, those are some catchy songs and quite enjoyable.
Well, and it's funny because they seem to fit into the sort of Muppet thing too, which is interesting because really it was Paul Williams wrote most of the songs for the old Muppet movies.
I mean, the thing is,
and I guess just Brett McKenzie's songwriting style is I guess similar to that.
It's not that because I mean the two Paul Williams songs. Yeah, wait, what am I talking about? Two Paul Williams songs.
Well, no, he wrote like all the
Rainbow
music
Connection,
for the old Muppet movies.
And but like Rainbow Connection sort of became this transcendent.
Yeah, it was bigger than the Muppets. Yeah,
but most of the songs in Muppet movies are a little winky, naughty, there's jokes in them, and that is nothing if not, you know, Flight of the Conchords. You know, even to the point where Flight of the Conchords songs are commenting on the songs, you know.
Yeah.
They're, you know, and you know, like the I'm Not Crying, there's just...
Yes.
Yeah. You know, that song is sort of...
And the other one that was really... The other one that was really Concordy to me was Amy Adams has a little quick short one. Where it's something about like a, you
party
know,
of me or
party,
something.
Party for one or something like that. But that was very Flight of the Conchords-esque to me as well.
But, you know, I mean, Flight of the Conchords, well, sometimes they can be a little dirty. Most of the time it's really like wordplay kind of humor. Anyway, it's actually very...
It's pretty Muppety.
Humor.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it goes quite well. But, you know, that being said... They felt like Flight of the Conchords songs to me, which made them fantastic.
Well, I agree. let me ask you what you thought about the lead actors, Jason Segel and Amy Adams, because I think particularly Amy Adams is a pretty slam dunk because she's basically done this before. I haven't seen Enchanted, but I gather that's sort of the gag is that she's playing you know, a cartoon character, a Disney princess, basically.
Guileless.
Right.
The words I'm looking for.
Yeah.
Words. I just called that two words. It's been a long time.
But I buy Amy Adams a lot more as this than I buy her as a tough fighting barmaid from The Fighter.
Right. Well.
Which she got an Oscar nomination for, by the way.
You know, that's the thing. You have to have, you needed two actors who could be sincere without winking. And I think they both, Jason Segel mm-hmm. and Amy Adams, both, you know, fit the bill. They were delightful, you know. You just got to be game, you know. That's the thing with Muppets.
Yeah.
You just got to be game. Jack Black ended up being like the biggest
yeah, he
character.
Was.
And people, you know, you love to use him for stuff like that because he's just totally game. Like,
right.
He's going to go with it. He's going to, you know, totally, there will be no phoning it in. There'll be no, like, look at how cool I am. He's going to, like, give it 3,000%.
Well, Jack Black is enjoyable. Jack Black, it was a pretty obvious choice. I imagine the producers of this movie saw his tour de force on Yo Gabba Gabba.
Of course. He didn't, forget, you
he
know.
He carried an entire episode.
That's right. It was an episode based upon Jack. But that's what I'm saying. Like, he's just such a, I mean, if there is a Muppety man actually in the world, it is probably Jack Black
yeah.
more so than Jason Segel.
But Jason Segel, I felt like, was sort of channeling some of the stuff from Freaks and Geeks here, where he also plays sort of a, you know, I guess in Alabama we would call him a goober. But it's just, you know, it's just that character who's completely unself-aware and you know,
well, yeah,
off shucksy.
Well, and you know, it was sort of a little hat trick too to get, you know, conflict between the romantic lead.
Yeah, how are they going to fight?
Being,
right.
You know, and it's just that he's a goober and he forgets that, you know, and she does, and she won't say that, you know, it's just so mild. But again, that's what you want. You know, you can't really.
You wouldn't want any racier more, you know, tough conflict than that. And actually,
well, because Muppets is supposed to be profoundly for children and,
yes.
you know, adults
can
appreciate
even
it.
Even the bad guy, you know, the way they handle it and on Fresh Air, Jason Segel was talking about this recently. But what he said was, you know, the kind of the way that Muppets deal with bad guys, they don't like destroy them.
He did fall a bit.
Yeah, but he, you know, but it wasn't because of the Muppets.
Yeah.
But what they do is they just like go to him and go, well, you know, we really want to be your friend and we just think people should love you. And, you know, like that's how they try to resolve their problems with bad guys.
By the way, I think the bad guys, that one, you know, monster, I don't remember what they said his name was, but the one with the whiskers.
Uh-huh.
I think that was when he first appeared is when Naomi started going, I want to go home.
Yeah,
I think she was a little scared.
That's a pretty creepy Muppet.
Yeah. Well, and he was, I've seen him before.
He's been around.
I think that was when Naomi started going like, I want to go home.
He scared her more than Chris Cooper did.
Of course. Well,
yeah.
Look, Chris Cooper just looks like a dude.
Yeah.
That guy looks like a whatever. But then
there's another,
a good guy,
Chris,
you know?
Cooper's rap
was very
Flight of the Conchords. That was all of their, it could have gone in any of their sort of goofy attempts at rap that they've done.
See you girls checking out the project.
We should throw in some Concords. I've done that before on Cinematrimony. I've given us Concords intros. Love that was, but that was before we had our fabulous intro music.
That's right.
let me move on.
Lumps. Sorry.
Yeah, let me get back to the sugar lumps of this podcast.
No, that made it gross.
Well, so you mentioned you don't think there's going to be a whole slew of Muppet movies. Do you? But I mean, this was financially successful,
right?
And the people who made it seem to enjoy it. The only people who I've really heard the only negatives about this movie really were that the original Muppet people.
Rumby.
Didn't want to be involved and sort of refused to participate because they didn't like whatever. I guess they didn't like the screenplay.
I think it was only Frank Oz who gave it any grief. And that was because there were fart shoes, I believe, is what his issue was.
Yeah, they had a problem with the fart shoes. I mean, really. But I mean, do you think, based solely on, you know, what you saw, would you want to see another Muppet movie of this sort of generation, you know, maybe not with Jason Segel in it necessarily, but would you want to see, feel like the Muppets have more in them?
Well, of course. I mean, they've, you know, been around since the late 60s. So, I mean, obviously they've got staying power. But the thing is, I mean, there is... I hope that they won't. And, you know, now Disney's at the helm. I don't know if they always were. But now
Disney has owned the Muppets since the late 80s, basically.
Okay, well, yeah. I'd be worried that they will start cranking them out because that sort of bastardizes it. Because that's the thing. This was really an event movie because it's been a while since the Muppets came out. And they're everybody's, mm-hmm. you know, little felt friends.
What Disney did with them for a while... And I didn't think it was a bad idea necessarily. They started basically taking classic stories and putting the Muppets in them, you know, which is essentially kind of what they did with their animated movies. So they did, you know, A Christmas Carol and Treasure Island.
Right.
But they kind of abandoned that course after a while. I thought that was kind of an interesting direction to go.
Well, that was when they were still doing, you know, movie. Yeah, because those were TV movies.
No. Muppet Christmas Carol and Muppet Treasure Island were both theatrical movies.
But, you know, that's where they seemed to be using them was whenever they used to have, like, Friday Night Family. What was it? ABC used to do, like...
Yeah, no, there were a lot of made-for-TV Muppet things. But, I mean, their theatrical movies, the only one they did other than those two was Muppets in Space, which was a big failure. But
Muppets in Space.
More Concords.
Yeah.
I'd like to see...
Well, you know what, though? I think what made this a success versus Muppets in Space... Muppets in Space is... That was a little bit of, like... Meat Cat? Like, backward hat, sunglasses, skateboard. Like, Muppets are cool! And this sort
meat
of...
Meat Cat?
30 Rock.
Oh.
Meat Cat. You take a pizza, you wrap it in a... Or you take a hot dog...
Or, like, the Simpsons character with the dog...
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that they were trying to make the Muppets cool, and this very wisely went completely the other direction and said the Muppets aren't cool.
Yeah.
We still love them. And right. That is the idea, is that
they're dorky and unfashionable.
And just let the Muppets be the Muppets.
Yeah.
And people will remember and love them for that. And so I think, you know, if we can kind of keep on, you know, and the time was right for a musical, you know, people are kind of in a place where they want a musical, and sort of like I was saying on our Marley Matlin. Thanks.
She just had a pacifier spit into her face. Our Marley Matlin podcast. For those who don't know what she's talking about Martha Marcy May Marlene.
Whatever. You know, I think people are, excuse me for using this word that we don't like to use anymore, are interested in escapist, you know. Man, Matt, you're like acting like I'm trying to throw down. I'm just saying
that was a shot at.
It's not a shot. I'm just saying
Ben Stark.
It's suddenly become a loaded thing to say, but I think you know this. You know, we're at a place in the world where people are a little more appreciative of escapist entertainment, and you know, just kind of sweet and unabashedly good humored things. Mm-hmm. And I think you know, and that's also a Christmas season thing too. You know, people. Don't necessarily want it. Well, I guess it's kind of there. It's like 50%.
Well, we'll see how Warhorse does.
Yeah, whatever.
On that front, but
who's going to believe that a horse goes into war, anyways? I don't understand. He can't carry a gun. What's he going to do? Buck kick people?
I'm really looking forward to the Warhorse podcast.
Are you going to make me watch that movie?
I can't wait to see Warhorse.
No horses. No,
it's PG-13.
This sounds like the worst movie of all time. I hate war, and I do not like horses.
Please mark your calendars, folks, for the War Horse podcast. It will be the best thing since the Black Swan podcast.
I can read the title now. War Horse equals Charlie Horse.
That's your preemptive review?
Yes.
Like when you reviewed We Have a Zoo? Which
I didn't
was
review it.
What was your review? Your preemptive review of that?
We bought a poo.
Yeah. We bought a zoo, so it was, right?
Yeah, we have a zoo. That's a whole different thing.
We have a zoo.
Just about some zookeepers.
They already have it.
Yeah, they've
when
had
the
it
movie
for,
starts.
They've been running it for years successfully.
Nothing's wrong, yeah. Okay, well.
It's a slice of life about zookeepers.
Yeah.
If you want that, you should watch Mighty Boosh Season 1.
Oh, good recommendation. Yeah, about a show about a zoo, yeah.
Well, Season 1.
The Mighty Boosh Season 1, yes.
But back on
target. I don't think there's a lot of debate here about the Muppets, but I would say it's being well reviewed for a reason. We can confirm that. It's good, lighthearted, fun. You'll enjoy it, especially if you grew up with the Muppets like we did.
Although, here is the bone I will pick with them.
Pick a bone.
What was Selena Gomez doing there? Like, that's a thing.
It was a really quick cameo, though, to be fair.
Yeah, well. The dulcet tones of our daughter crying.
Yeah, and that sound means our podcast is over for this week.
Does it?
But thank you for thanks for listening to us. It was a little bit short, but, you know, there's not a lot of debate that's going to happen about the Muppets unless you happen to run into Craig Hamilton somewhere. So.
And if you do, punch him in the nuts.
Right. On the Muppets podcast, you said that. What if children are listening?
Do you really think children listen to
Mom, me? I found this Muppets podcast on iTunes.
I'm supposed to punch a guy named Craig Hamilton in the nuts. Yes, children. And say, Muppets rule, and you drool. That'll teach him.
Farewell, podcast listeners.
He's the only person who's ever funded us.
That's right.
We just lost our funding. What have I done?
Thank you, everyone, and we will see you again soon.
Good luck, Craig.